Well, beloved, please take out your Bibles at this time and turn back to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10 is continue on. We're going to finish this chapter today by looking at the last few verses. Verses 38 through 42 will be our text. It's Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. So as we read this together, this is the Lord's word to us today. So our Lord says this. Now as they were traveling along, he entered a certain village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary, who moreover was listening to the Lord's word, seated at his feet. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations. She came up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me. But the Lord answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only a few things are necessary. Really, only one. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, as we've gathered here together, Lord, to worship you, a big part of worship is, oh, Lord, sitting at your feet and listening to you. Speak truth into our lives. Truth that's eternal, that's weighty and that matters and that's lasting and that bears fruit. So, Father, I pray you would capture our hearts and minds today and that you would speak. And, Lord, that it would be you. No one needs to hear me speak, but we always need to hear you. So may you, by your Holy Spirit, Lord, speak into our minds and our hearts and our lives today so that we could truly hear you and be changed. And Lord, we would listen and obey you. You're always calling us to you, calling us to respond in the way you reveal. Oh, Father, I pray we would have faith today. Able to not only acknowledge the truth, but to then live differently because of what we hear from you. And may this be to your glory, Lord, as you continue to make a people that will reflect you and glorify you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, as a pastor, one thing I find myself regularly exhorting people in, because I am so burdened in this and believe this to be so true, is I call for them, as well as myself, to give themselves, to devote themselves to the study of the Word and prayer. Again, I'm so burdened in this, and I call people to this continually because I believe it's absolutely foundational to a believer if they want to follow the Lord and know Him as we are called to. It is critical. It is all important. I can't overemphasize the need for us as believers, if we're truly disciples of Christ, is to come under Him, and we do that by coming and meditating and prayerfully coming under His Word of truth. Now, as critical as this is, as crucial as it is, as I look out on believers, not only here among the sheep here, but really any believers that I can see in my eyesight, and including myself as I watch over my own soul. As critical as it is, I still see we as sheep kept from this more than we should be. There's just so many times and things that often hinder us in this all-important duty. I'll use the word duty because it is, but really I could use the word privilege. Just depends on how we see it. Now, why do I bring that up this morning? Well, as we turn to our passage today, we see here the story of two women. And in one of these women, namely Martha, I just see somebody that looks just like the rest of us. In other words, I see somebody hindered in being kept from, oh, what is so crucial for her. And as I see her hindered in these things, I just see, again, us. I use the word me too. I see that it's the same things. They're just common to man. The things that keep Martha from what she truly needs, right, are the same things that keep us often from what we truly need. And so in light of that, I thought it'd be prudent as we go through this to look at what is it exactly that's keeping Martha from what she needs. And as we look at what's keeping Martha, then since it is common to us, I believe, then hopefully we could then learn from these things and hopefully seek to overcome them by faith. And so that's what I want us to do as we go through here. We're specifically going to see three hindrances that prevent Martha from giving herself to what she needs the most, and these same things we keep us from what we need the most as well. So what are we? What's Martha's hindrances? What are her problems? What's causing her to be kept from the all-important duty of sitting at Christ's feet and learning and hearing from Him? Well, the first one is I'll just say distractions. Distractions. Look at verses 38 through the first part of verse 40. As we begin here, we see that the story opens with telling us that Jesus, they, and His disciples, right, are traveling along. We know that's what they're doing all the time, going from city, town, village, preaching the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus has been doing throughout His earthly ministry. And as they're doing that, He enters a certain village, Luke says, and a woman there was named Martha welcomed Him, and you got to know that's with Him, it's them, into her home. Now, just a few points here to kind of fill in the context. First of all, Luke doesn't tell us, but we can go to John and we can find out this certain village was indeed Bethany, because this was where Martha, and we're told in John, it's where Martha and Mary live, along with their probably more famous brother Lazarus, right, who was raised from the dead. It's a small village about 2 miles from Jerusalem. So this is the same Martha and Mary that we see it a lot with John when Jesus goes to raise Lazarus from the dead. Secondly, while this looks like it could be Jesus' first visit and first encounter with Mary and Martha, doesn't tell us that, but it could be. Even though that may be true, if we look at the book of John, we can see that Jesus had many visits and interactions, it seems, with this whole family. And in fact, we're told that Jesus, in John chapter 11 and verse 5, that Jesus loved each one of them. I just want you to remember that. When Jesus here rebukes Martha, and it is a rebuke, that is done out of love. Why? Because this is what she needs. It's hard for us to reconcile sometimes rebuke and love, but it's true. If we truly love someone, we will rebuke when they need it, right? When it's a wrong needs to be corrected, a path needs to be brought back to the right path. That's what love does. Now, I don't say that all rebuke we receive is done out of love, right? It can be done out of other motives. But if we truly love, we will rebuke. And if we are loved, we will receive a rebuke, especially from our Heavenly Father who loves and disciplines us, and from our Savior, right? He loved Martha, so therefore He speaks to her heart in the way she needs it, which was a rebuke. Gentle, but rebuke. Third, I would like you to just remember here that what Martha is engaged in is a commendable thing. It's a good thing, right? But why? Well, she's practicing hospitality. And in fact, believers, we're called to, in many places in the Scriptures, to practice hospitality. So Martha is engaged in a good work. And it's not a small work. I want to say she had to sacrifice quite a bit to do this. Because again, when she received Jesus in her home, remember, he didn't come by himself. Who's with Jesus everywhere he goes? Ooh, there's a whole slew of people, especially all of his disciples. So I imagine her house was filled to the brim with people. So I just want you to see she was doing a good thing, right? So there's kind of the context, the setting around what takes place, right? So Jesus comes into this home of Martha. Now, as we move into verse 39, we're introduced to her sister, the host sister, Mary. And what does she do? Well, it says that she just takes up her place at Jesus' feet, right? Why? Well, but she's listening to the Lord's word. Well, all right, a couple of things here. First of all, take notice of Jesus first. Jesus has come into this home. What's he do? He does what he always does. He teaches. Everywhere Jesus went, right, he's teaching. What's he teaching? The word of truth, the word of God, the kingdom of God, what truly matters. Everywhere you go, if you're hearing anything, if you've been here for a while through the book of Luke, you can see this is what Jesus, he is the great teacher. And here he is. He goes in the home. He doesn't change it up. He teaches. Matthew Henry mentioned this. I thought it worth repeating. He said, obviously, Jesus doesn't see the home as someplace off limits for the Word of God, right? Obviously, he says this is as good a place as any, perhaps better, to speak of the things of God and the Word of God and the kingdom of God, right? And so the call is for us as disciples, let us see it that way as well. You know, sometimes I think we believe that maybe the Word of God and speaking of the Word of God and teaching the Word of God is only for the church when we're gathered, or maybe some public assembly, but not in the home. Oh no, quite the contrary. The home is as good a place and perhaps a better place for that. And so when we have visits, right, in our own home or in others' homes, may we seek as whenever as possible to gain a spiritual advantage, to speak of God and the things of God. Jesus obviously did it everywhere he went. So if we're followers of Jesus, why would not we not do the same thing? So you see Jesus teaching. Now let's turn our focus back to Mary. What does Mary do? Well, Mary, she takes advantage of the situation. See, there's an opportunity here. Now think about it. The Son of God himself is in her home and he's teaching about the most important things that could ever be spoken. The Word of God, truth, eternity. And so she says, I'm going to take up my seat right at his feet. And I'm going to listen. This position of sitting at his feet is highly important to us because, you know, in that day and time, this was the position of a disciple, a learner of a teacher. This is what you did. When someone was teaching and you considered yourself to be a learner, disciple of them, you sat right at their feet. This position was important because it implied a couple of things. Taking up that posture literally, you were saying to the teacher, I want to learn and hear everything you have to say. That's why I'm so close. I'm not going to stand in the back aloof. Let all the things be filtered through whatever has to get to me. I'm going to get up close because I want to hear everything and learn everything you have to say. It also was important because it implied submissiveness. In other words, you listened and you listened with a heart that I'm going to obey what's being taught here. I aim to not only hear this and learn it and put it in my head, but I'm going to come under it, and I'm actually going to live according to the truth that I'm taught, right? So it's, I want to know it all, learn it all from you, teacher, and I want to come under it. That's the posture. Now, today we don't see that physically played out. We don't see people sitting at the teacher's feet usually, right? But anytime we come before the Word of God and we're, you know, in ourselves before the Word of God, or we're hearing the Word of God expounded and taught truly, then we ought to have that posture in our mind and heart. That's how we ought to be coming, right? We ought to be coming going, you know what? I want to hear what you have to say, Lord, every bit of it. I want to take it all in because it's that important. And two, I want to come with a submissive heart. I want to come ready, not just to learn knowledge, but to come under and actually learn so that I can then go walk in obedience to it, right? Because that's what faith does. That's what trust in does. It obeys. So you see, we can learn a lot from Mary here just from her posture. And this is a posture we ought to take up every time the Lord is speaking. And listen, He's speaking every time His Word is being read and studied and prayed over, meditated upon, or proclaimed. Now, that finally brings us to Martha. Mary's at the feet of Jesus. She's listening. Martha is not. She does not take advantage of the situation. Why? What's keeping her from such a great opportunity? What's it say? But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, it says. Now, the literal translation is there is Martha was distracted with much service. Again, that kind of points back to what she's doing service. She's even serving Jesus. But in that, she is distracted. That is actually distracting her from the opportunity to sit and learn from the Son of God Himself as He speaks. Distract. What's a distraction? That's anything that keeps you from something else. And the idea is that the something else you're being kept from is what you need to be giving yourself to. Right? That's why a distraction is a distraction. This thing, whatever it is keeping me from this thing that I need. This is Martha's problem. She's distracted. And you could probably see it, right, with her service. You ever been there, right? Like, she's buzzing around that house, I'm sure. We're doing. What was her distraction? What was distracting her? What was keeping her from, preventing her from this? She's probably running around fixing food, right? Got a lot of food to prepare. Got a lot of people to feed. That's what you do with hospitality. And she's probably running around like making sure everybody has what they need and they're comfortable, right? And all those things. You know, I just remember back to my grandmother and those times when the whole family would be gathered together and we sit down for a meal. She'd eat late because she's always up filling glasses and make sure everybody had everything, right? Just something like that. And she may have even been, you know, making places ready for them to spend the night. Who knows how long they were going to be there? How many were there? There was just a lot going on. And because it was a lot going on, and because in Martha's mind this was most necessary, it kept her from the opportunity to sit and hear from Jesus Himself speak and teach. What kept her from what she needed? Distractions. Now, what do we do with that? Well, I would think we would just have to humble ourselves a bit and just admit that we too are prone to distractions. I don't even have to say what they are yet, right? We just know. Are we kept from sitting at the Lord's feet, as we should, and giving ourselves full attention to Him and His Word that He has for us, the truth? I think it's prudent to say, you know, we're all prone to distractions, whatever they are. Is there anything that prevents you from this? Then that's what? That's a distraction. And then two, if we have to go, okay, there are distractions, I'll have to admit that, then I think we should actually then be resolved within ourselves to be diligent, like we got to act. And we got to be diligent to seek as much as we can, right? To keep these things from being distractions that they are. I mean, that's what faith would look like here as we're seeing this. In other words, If we read this and we agree with Jesus that Martha's in the wrong, then when we mimic Martha, we have to admit that we are in the wrong. And therefore, if we are in the wrong, what are we always called to do? Repent. That's all I'm talking about here. If we allow distractions to be distractions, and Jesus says, oh, that's not the right way, then we have to go, oh, we're not on the right way when we do that. And if we truly believe and submit to our Lord, then we go, I repent. And by repenting is you do what you can to not allow distractions to keep you away from what you should be giving yourself to. And remember, these are good things. These are good things. So we justify, it's good. We all know, at least we should know, that worldly distractions, the things of the world, the pleasures of the world, the seeking of the world should never, ever keep us from what's most important. And putting ourselves before the Lord's feet in order to hear Him in the Word, right? Receiving the Word and prayer, it's always together, meditatively, and that's both privately and corporately, right? Though you've got benefits uniquely from each that you can't get from the other, and the call is always to both. So we ought to know that the world and the things of the world should never keep us from that. But oh, how we sometimes may not realize that we shouldn't even allow what we would consider good things to keep us from that. Good things like work. Good things like family. Good things like serving Jesus. So what should we do? Well, I think we should assess our life and go, well, if this is what the call is to, then okay, what are my opportunities to then actually sit at Jesus' feet and hear Him and be taught Him by Him? Well, you should have an opportunity there for every day in your home. It's that important. Every day there should be a time, and when I say a time, not the two-minute rush through variety. I'm talking about give yourself some significant time. How much? I'm not going to tell you. I'll let the Lord tell you, but it should be significant to be able to actually sit at Jesus' feet and hear Him. And again, when you're in the Word, that's when you're hearing Him speak. This is when He speaks truth to you. Sitting at His feet, prayerful meditating over this and going, Lord, what do You got for me today? Because Your truth is what I need. So we do that in the home. It should be some every day, right? And that's both privately and with your family. Because your family needs it too. And then I would say, venture on out into the body and go, okay, what's going on when the Word is being proclaimed and taught? Jesus is, if it's really the Word being proclaimed and taught, then is Jesus speaking? Is Jesus teaching? And we should see those as opportunities to come and actually sit at Jesus' feet. Not the preacher or the teacher, right? They're just a vessel. But in your mind and heart, you're sitting at Jesus' feet going, I want to hear You speak to me. Jesus, what have You got for me today, right? So anytime the Word's being proclaimed, do you even see it? Is that an opportunity to, I want to go hear Jesus speaking to my life today, what I need, because I need Your truth, Jesus. I need You are my Lord and Master. I need to hear from You, right? And so that would be true, of course, on Sunday mornings when the Word's being preached and proclaimed. But then in other times when the Word's being taught too, I mean, what about Sunday school? What about Wednesday night? Is the Word being taught? I'm not talking about some legalistic got to get there because, you know, I've got to check off my list. That defeats the purpose, doesn't it? Then it becomes like a distraction because then it's me trying to do things. No, it's like, do I even see that as something I need? Because Jesus is actually speaking through His Word, and that Word's what I need. So the call is then to go, what am I allowing to come between me and that? And Lord, You tell me, is that what's right or wrong? That's all we got to assess every part of that. Or how are we and do we allow ourselves to be distracted like Martha here? Even with good things. Distractions, that's number one. Number two, what else was hindering Martha? Self-focus. Look at the rest of verse 40. Here we come and we discover where Martha is in her heart and mind. And where is she? You know, Mary looks to be at peace, I would think, as you look at her posture, but Martha is not. And not only is she not at peace, but she's angry. You see that? She's angry with her sister. I would say at least frustrated. And I use that word, we as Christians like to use the word frustration instead of anger because it sounds less sinful. But it's frustration is nothing more than anger light at the best, right? So she's angry at her sister. Why? Well, because Martha has all this work to do. It needs to be done. It needs to be done a certain way, right? And so in light of that, how can my sister, right, if she cares about me at all, right, sit there and just sit there and listen to Jesus teach? Well, I have all this weight and responsibility on me to get this done. So she's upset. And where does her upsetness and her anger take her? It took her to the Lord. But not in the great way, best way, right? Why? She goes to the Lord, right, what to do what? To ask Him to make her sister do what she thinks she ought to do. And she even accuses the Lord, "You don't even care about me. You would, if you would, you would be making her do this already." Do you hear that in her? I'm sure it was less offensive as she said it, but that's what she's saying in her heart and mind. "Lord, don't you even care? If you cared, you'd make her do what she needs to do." She's justified in her mind that this is the right way. I mean, she's right. She's taking a righteous stand in her own heart and mind. My sister's wrong. I'm in the right. Lord, get her back where she needs to be. Whew. Now, can you imagine the sting when she asked the Lord this? That His reply to her was the exact opposite of what she knew to be just absolutely sure in her heart. When He says, "Oh, it's not her, it's you." She was so sure. She was in the right and she was seeing things rightly. And the Lord had to come and say, "No. It's the opposite." How can that happen? How does that happen? You ever been there? I've been there many times. How does that happen? Well, it happens per this point. When we are the center of the universe and we are our focus and it's our plans and our ways and what we want is what's motivating and dominating our heart and mind. Martha, a good thing, but it was dominating her because she wanted it done a certain way. This was service, but it was about her. And so it was because it was about her, right? She was getting upset and angry because everybody around her wasn't coming in according to her plan and doing what she needed to be done. You ever been there? Haven't you been there? Haven't you been there when you've got your plans and you've got your way and then everybody's just not coming on board and you're going, "What in the world is wrong with everybody? You should be here coming along with me," right? And we get so upset, we go to the Lord. "Lord, fix them. You know, I'm obviously right here, right? Fix my husband, right? Fix my wife. Fix my children. Fix my parents. Fix whoever," right? They're not coming along board with my plan and my heart. That's what happened to Martha. She was self-focused. It was about her, and her sister wouldn't come along doing what she should do. You know, when Jesus went to the Lord in the garden and prayed, what did He pray? Not, "My will be done, but Thy will be done." Martha, in effect, petitioned her Lord here. But how did she petition? She didn't even ask the Lord what his will was. It was, Lord, make my will come to pass. My will be done. Do you see how it's self? How do we overcome this? Well, the answer is, right, to die to self, right, and have the Lord as the one who is our devotion. The Lord is the one who is our focus. The Lord is the one we're giving ourselves to, and he's the center of everything, right? And let him determine what's good and right and not ourselves. That's what kills self-focus. It's the only thing that kills self-focus, right? It's to have the Lord as the one as our heart is truly loving more than anything, devoted to more than anything, the one we want to please more than anything, the one we want to follow more than anything. That's what will put all this self-focus in all the wrong places it takes us to death. I think Martha, if she had been there in her mind and heart, there would have been a lot of things different. Number one, I think she could have continued serving, but with joy. If the Lord really was the object of her affection, then she could just have joy serving him. Lord, I get to serve you. What a privilege. And it wouldn't be all about having to happen a certain way the way she wanted it and upset everybody else for not coming in. I just get to serve. I can have joy in this. I have been on both sides. And continue to walk in and out of that. When it's self-focused about me, I'm trying to serve the Lord, and I'm wondering, why isn't everybody doing exactly the way I think they ought to do it, right? And there's not no joy. There's no joy there. I just tell you, there's not. But then when it's all about the Lord, and it really is about the Lord, I can have joy no matter what anybody else is doing. I can't control that. Because it's about the Lord. Number two, I think if that had been Martha. I will interchange their names. Sorry about that. Martha, if it had been about the Lord and really want, I think she would have found a way to sit at his feet just like her sister was. Because if it's about the Lord and he's now actually speaking truth into my life and what I need, I got to do that. That's what my heart wants. And your heart want what it loves. And so she would have found a way. And then three, I don't think she would have ever, not only would she not have been angry at her sister, I think she would have been happy for her sister. Why? Well, because she could have seen what kind of wonderful opportunity her sister was having and how blessed she was to just be able to sit at Jesus' feet and hear from him. And be taught by him, you know? See, before it was about her. Mary, you need to come help me. But when we're actually loving the Lord rightly and he's everything, then we can love others rightly. And when we love others rightly, we want what's best for them. What was best for Mary? I was obviously sitting and learning from the Lord. So it all been different if she'd been at the right place in that moment. That's the call for us. The bottom line is self-focus never takes us to a good place. And that's just sin. That's what sin does. Sin turns the focus from what we were made to do, honor, glorify, worship, give ourselves to the Lord, and it turns it inward and says, no, I will be the focus of everything. And it never leads to a good place. And the only cure for that is to die to self and turn and truly have the Lord as our one object and focus of desire and worship. So self-focus was a problem for Martha that kept her from what she needed. Lastly, what kept Martha? Well, it was a failure to believe and then choose what she needed most. A failure to believe and choose the most needful thing. We'll look at verses 41 and 42, the last two verses. We see Jesus' response to her. And as Jesus does, he always gets to the heart. This went straight for it. And he says to her, you know, hear the gentleness in his voice. You know, I said he loves her and he rebukes her, but it's so gentle. Martha, Martha. Martha, Martha, you don't even know what's going on in your own heart and mind. Let me tell you. He says, Martha, Martha, you're so consumed right now, right? You're so worried and bothered about so many things. You see, they've got you. They captured your heart and mind. That's why you're over here. It's why you're all upset. And that's why, look at you. He said, but all these things you're so consumed over and worried over, look, you need to put them in the right perspective, because there's really only a few things that are necessary for you to give yourself to. And then he even narrows it down even more. He said, there's really only one thing. Do you see it? Really only one. Obviously, the one is what Mary chose here. The one thing that was needed, the most needful thing, is to sit at Jesus' feet and hear him speak to us in his truth. And so he says, Mary chose the one needful thing. And it's not going to be taken away from her. In other words, I'm not going to call her away from that. Of course I'm not going to do that. But instead, what I'm going to do is I'm going to call you to that. See, that's what's going on here. This is Jesus' call to Martha. Martha, come away from all the things that consume you so often, right? Take you down the bad roads, take you down into worry and frustration. Turn away from those and come to the most needful thing, which is come to me. Jesus, come to me and sit at my feet and hear me speak words of life and words of truth to you. This is the most needful thing. And brothers and sisters, as you hear this, understand. Hear, I hope you hear the Lord's call. It's not just to Martha. It's to who? It's to all of us, if we're His. His call is always, come away from all those things. Oh, what are you so bothered and worried about? What is keeping you from spending much time in the Lord's Word and prayerfully hearing and coming under His Word? What is distracting you? What is keeping you from that? The call is to go, believe that there is really only one thing you need. It starts there. I say, you got to believe it. Because that's the issue. What are you really believing? Believe that what you need, right, more than anything, is learning and hearing the Lord speak to you from His Word of truth as you prayerfully sit under it. Believe the truth that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. If you really believe that, and we joke about it, how often do you eat food? You don't miss that. You need that, right? You know you need that. Well, if you really believe that you need this more than that, then we're going to feed on it as much as possible. And we're going to see it and believe it, that this is the one thing that I need above all. And then if you believe that, then you're going to begin to choose it. See, what keeps us from actually then acting and doing it? It's the belief. It's unbelief. And so we've got, once we come under and go, oh, I don't want to just acknowledge it in my mind and truth. We can do that and still not really believe it. It's putting our faith in it. And when we come to actually put our faith, this is what we need more than anything, then we'll begin to choose it, right? Even when all these other things, good things, right, come against it. See, here's what happens. We have all these, we know, yeah, I need to be in the Word. We'll agree with it and all that stuff. Yeah, I know, I need to hear the Word preached and be with the believers. We know that in our minds, right? But then when these other things come in that seem so important and they dominate our heart and minds, we get tested and we prove out what we really believe we need more than anything. Because that which we believe we need more than anything is what we will choose. And we feel the pressure. Oh, we feel trapped. We feel like, I have no choice here. But that's not the truth. We always have a choice. Unless somebody's got you in chains and got you bound and can't let you choose, right? We have a choice. And so the call is to see it rightly and actually believe what's truly the priority, the one main thing is that. And if we do, then when all these other things come, we will make the choice, no, that's what I need most, and then these other things will fall in line. See, it's a priority problem. And it's a faith in that priority problem. I'll quote Calvin here when he talks about Martha. Remember, it was a good thing she did. He says this. He says, the hospitality of Martha was faulty in this respect. She neglected the main business and devoted herself entirely to household affairs. And yet Christ does not mean that everything else, with the exception of this one thing, is of no importance. That's not what he's saying. But that we must pay a proper attention to order, lest what is an accessory becomes our chief concern. That's it, isn't it? These things that are really accessories. They're important things. We're going to have them in our life. But they are not the most important thing. They are accessories. The most needful thing is to do what Mary did here, to make sure that this is what we do. We put the stake in the ground. We take the stake and we take the sledgehammer and we drive it. And we drive it. And said, that's what my life will be ordered around. You understand? My life will be ordered around this, and then all these other things will fall in line and become around the periphery of this, right? Instead of the opposite. See, the opposite happens when we don't believe this. We make these things the most important, and then we try to fit in time with Jesus around it. It's the exact opposite. Time with Jesus is absolute. And then everything else will come in and fall in line as it should if we do that. And I think what you'll find is all these other things that we will have in our life, they will actually become, instead of a concern of worry and capturing the mind and heart and where it gets stressed, they'll actually be avenues for us to go out and live what Jesus has taught us when we spent time with Him. Right? Our work, we'll be able to go live it out in faith as Jesus teaches us how to work. And our family will actually be able to go out and live in faith and order our family the way Jesus has taught us to order our family and to do what He's called us to do. Service to Him, we'll actually be able to, it'll be about Him. And we'll do it the way He wants us to and not the way we've devised. And ain't nothing should keep us from this. And when we get it right, everything else will begin to fall in place much better. What is the most needful thing? That's what we have to come to. Jesus tells us, I think very clearly, and I think Jesus knows best. So if we believe that, if we trust Him, right, I think we will come under Him and follow Him who knows best. And as we should know, that's where blessing lies. It's not in our way. It's always in Jesus' way. May we truly see and believe Christ and what He says and follow Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as I began, I could end here with the same prayer, just bookend it, Lord, that You would be the one that would truly speak here. You know, any words that were mine, take them away. May they be forgotten forever. But what You have spoken through Your word, may You cause to be emblazoned on our hearts and minds, because they're the words of our Lord and Master, the one we have entrusted our souls to and our lives to. And so may we hear You, Jesus, and may we answer Your call, come after You with all that's within us, and see You, Your word of truth, as we spend time with You, is the most needful thing. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.